Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 8, 2016. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, email address, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry. Well, already did that. Somehow, somebody doubled my read sheet. Sorry, folks. Anyway, if you want to just try an audio archive, try messiahsbranch.com. That's messiahsbranch.com for just audios, no news. Anyway, check out also branch.podomatic.com. All these are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an app for Android. So listen up. And I challenge you to share these programs with at least two or three other folks. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by USA Postal and email with your return address and over your phone number to call you back. These requests, that they'll be printed out, they'll be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request. If we can remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Bonn, Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, Soweto, South Africa, São Paulo, Brazil, Paris, France, Westminster, London, United Kingdom, Oslo, Norway, and of course cities here in the good old USA, such as Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, Chandler, Arizona, Tampa, Florida, Toledo, Ohio, New Orleans, Louisiana, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. So please, Father, give everyone that ears in which to hear the truth in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Well, today's guest has been on with us before. Her name is Lori Cardoza Moore. She is both the founder and president of pro-Israeli Christian organization Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. She's also a special envoy to the United Nations for Israel from the World Council of Independent Christian Churches. She was this year named among the 100 top people impacting Jewish life by the Al Jaminers, news organization. So let's welcome Lori. Now, are you there with us, Lori?
I'm here, Pastor. Thank you so much for having me back on the program.
Well, I'm glad to have you back, but we have you here now, so I'm excited. You've been a pretty busy girl since the last time I talked to you. I already told the folks that you know what you do, but tell us what Proclaiming bring justice to the nations is.
Absolutely. Well, PJTN's mission is to educate Christians about their biblical responsibility to stand with our Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel against the rise of global genocidal anti-Semitism. We accomplish that mission by producing award-winning documentary films and programs for a Christian audience, and we distribute those programs at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention every year, and our films and programs broadcast through all of our partners at NRB, broadcast to over 200 nations, reaching over 950 million viewers, with a pro-Israel message from a biblical perspective.
Wow. You had sent me a few years ago when you were on The Forgotten People, Christianity and the Holocaust. I played that at our for our small congregation in Wichita, our mission church. And, you know, it just floored everybody. It's such a dynamite video. In fact, folks, if you go to my website, prophecyhour.com, you'll see a big picture of that video. And I keep a link to your website, Lori, because I'm so impressed with that video.
Thank
everybody
you.
Everybody needs to see it.
Absolutely.
Well, no thanks needed. You're doing a great work.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, that documentary is really probably the first film that people should watch in our series because it does go into the history of Christian anti-Semitism, replacement theology, supersessionism, all of these traditions and these doctrines that have no basis in the Word of God. And unfortunately, Pastor, we're seeing a growing resurgence of replacement theology and supersessionism within the Christian church. And ironically, it's happening within the evangelical church, which is very disheartening because evangelical Christians are notorious for actually reading their Bible. But we're seeing this growing movement of evangelical Christians, or they profess to be evangelical Christians, who are taking a pro-Palestinian narrative or stance. And please don't hear me that I'm anti-Arab, because I do believe that those Arabs need Yeshua as Messiah. And unfortunately, though, many of these evangelical Christians say accuse Israel of occupying Palestinian land, but there's no basis again for that in scriptures. So it's very disheartening to see that this is happening, and so Christians have to be educated. They have to be able to know what the Word of God says, especially relative to this issue, because look at what's happening around the world. We are watching, we're living prophecy unfolding almost every day.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And they're doing themselves a great disservice by, you know, using replacement theology. And that's something that they really, most of them don't even realize that they're doing replacement theology, but they do it so much. But, you know, when I read my Bible, I wasn't churched or anything, and I read my Bible and I came out with the beliefs that I do. And when I went to church, I could believe the difference in what the Word said in the church. But while I'm thinking about it, I want you to elaborate on this, because I just said that you were a special envoy to the United Nations for Israel from the World Council of Independent Christian Churches. What is a special envoy, and what is the Council of Independent Churches? Two different questions.
Absolutely. Well, the World Council of Independent Christian Churches is an independent evangelical Christian organization. And Archbishop Dr. John Lopoli, who is the president of the WCICC, has over 380,000 congregations around the world, with as many as 44 million congregants. Now, most of his congregations are located in countries like India, in Africa, and throughout Asia. And his status at the United Nations is an ECOSOC, or economic and social non-governmental organization. I was invited to serve on as a special envoy representing WCICC. In fact, I was 2 years ago installed as a deacon within the church. But I was invited to come on as their special envoy back in 2011, after Dr. Lopoli had been following our organization and my efforts for a couple of years, and he was so inspired and encouraged by the activity that we were taking and the position we were taking. He asked me if I would like to do what I'm doing at the United Nations, and I said, absolutely. There are Christians, and that's one of the things, you know, we all, when we hear the word United Nations, we, you know, our hair on the back of our neck begins to crawl because of all the ungodliness. But you know what? There are Christians that are in that building. There are Christian ambassadors. There are Christian delegates. There are Christian staffers. There's even other Christian NGOs. But the unfortunate thing is everybody is so intimidated by the Arab lobby that nobody will speak out for what is just and what is right and what is good and what is noble and true. And so my responsibility there is to be that voice in these meetings. Now, I focus my attention on human rights issues, especially relative to what's happening with anti-Semitism, the growing anti-Semitic movement around the world that is being pushed by this whole boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. That's where we're seeing a lot of the anti-Semitism arise from. And so we actually have an event scheduled to come up October 20th at the United Nations. And the event is titled Human Rights Violations, the Global Impact of the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. We have a documentary film that is going to be coming out. We produced it for the millennial generation. We will premiere it in Los Angeles on October 10th. So I hope any of your listeners, if they're in the L.A. area, if they'll come out, they can go to the website and get the information to register. But this this film was produced for the millennials, but it's really a film for everybody to watch. But we wanted to reach the younger generation because this is the targeted group. These young people, our young kids, even Christian kids, are buying into that social, politically correct message about the Palestinians. And if the Palestinians, the Arabs, really, truly want to be blessed, well, there's a way that they can be blessed. They need to bless their older brother and or their younger brother, really, in the faith.
Right.
And, you know, God said in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you, and all the nations of the world will bless themselves by you. So our goal with the film is to reach these young people. Our goal at the United Nations through our event on October 20th is to talk about the global impact. If the world were really to, you know, just lay it on Israel, let's boycott them, let's stop using their products, let's stop using their science and medical advancements, and let's just see what would the real implications be. Think about, you know, the natural disasters that happen. It's usually Israel is on the ground first to set up triage units and start helping to put the pieces of the community back together. You know, if the world decides to boycott Israel, what about all these people with these natural disasters? Who's going to come to their aid? I mean, just look at Haiti. What happened to Haiti a few years back? Israel was one of the first, they were the first country on the ground. The United States, it took us 7 days. I think it was 7 to 10 days to show up. And here were the Israelis. They were already there, taking care of the people, setting up the surgical units. It's, you know, so we have to look at the implications of that mindset and think, you know, and the other thing, this is another thing that you never really hear about with the boycott movement, is this BDS is fueling the new anti-Semitism. That's why we have this growing hatred of Israel around the world. People are citing and accusing Israel of giving, you know, of occupying Palestinian land. But it's also affecting innocent Israelis. It's affecting their jobs. And on top of that, the United Nations, who prides itself in the whole pushing the two-state solution and helping the Palestinian people, it's boycotting businesses in these areas like Judea and Samaria, or what the world calls the West Bank. These people, these Palestinians, are losing their jobs. We interviewed one woman in the film from Jericho, who told us the story that, you know, because I asked her, I said, well, what would happen if Israel had to give up this land, what would happen to your job? She said, my family will die. She said, because there is no work in the Palestinian area. And this is what the this is really the truth of the matter. We have been spending, and I say we, world leaders, have been spending millions of dollars, billions really, over the years to help this the impoverished Palestinian people. There's no development. There are no economic opportunities, but we keep pouring billions of dollars into this hole that never results in helping and making these Palestinians or these Arab lives better. And that
okay, let me cut in right there. Let me cut in right there. We're getting ready to go to a break. Joe, now, first off, on your website, that is, the film that you're talking about, that's Boycott This, right?
Yes, that's the new documentary that's coming out.
Folks, you can see the trailer to it. It's right there when you go to our website now. Lori, please tell them where your website's at.
It's located at pjtn.org.
pjtn.org. Folks, that's pjtn.org. And, of course, folks, when this goes to podcast later on tonight, after we get off live radio, there will be a link with the podcast for her website. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pastor Dan Calvin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless and poor, but we're talking about the poor people that have been crushed by this Obama economy, working either part-time or one or two part-time jobs. So please consider donating to help us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, and we get no help from any organized church or government agencies. It's only folks like you that has helped us for that. Now we're in our 17th year that make the Wichita Mission Church work. Well, folks, and, you know, tonight we're talking about Israel, and, you know, I had a man that works for the bank and a real big fundraiser, and one day we was in there about 6 or 7 years ago, we were in my office, and he says, you know, Pastor Dan, he says, you know why I can't get you any support for the Wichita Mission Church? And I said, no, Ed, I really don't know. Why? What's the problem? You fundraise for everything else and all these other projects. And he pointed to the Israeli flag on my wall. And he said, that's the reason. We are the weirdos down the street. In fact, we're the weirdos that support Israel, that take care of the homeless and poor down the street. They always brag about how good a job we're doing, but nobody wants to contribute. We do have a few contributors in Wichita now, but not many. Not for as many as you would think with as many people that listen to our radio program over there. So pray about donating. You know, so why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love's the first answer, and because they're treated as family. And beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. The only programs I have are radio programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And if we don't have the way to fill the need, and then we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to donate to the poor, well, consider that you're listening to this radio program. And as we don't sell anything, and we pray about supporting airtime, we don't sell anything. It's only people like you that support the radio program is why we're on the air. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, and we are also live on the net internationally, something that also goes to many different podcasts afterwards. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Lori Cardoza Moore. If she hasn't left us yet, are you there, Lori?
I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, that's always good to see. You know, I have this, I'll do it real quick. I have this little small complex because I can't see people, you know. Always go, are you there? You know, anyway. I've never gotten used to radio. I've been doing it talk radio since 2004, and it still sometimes is funny. Anyway, but I have you on, and that's cool. And so back to that. So this Brad Stein, he's a pretty funny guy. I watched the trailer a while ago, and he had me laughing.
Yeah, he's very entertaining. And let me tell you, this is you know, every time we do a documentary, I always say, you know, this one's my favorite. This is the best. But, you know, we continue to produce films that just, even when I see the finished product, because, you know, when you have the vision for a story, and you start to develop it, and you think about the people you're going to interview, the people you're going to put in it, the story you're going to tell. You know, until you see the finished product, it just doesn't hit until you watch it in total. And Brad did an outstanding job. You know, we did a focus group with a 30-minute version of the Boycott This documentary in Orlando, Florida. We chose students from the age of 15 to the age of 28, you know, reaching that millennial generation, but also dipping into the high school kids, because our kids in high school and middle school are being propagandized now with this anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, anti-Judeo-Christian, anti-American content. And so we showed a 30-minute version of the film, and I kind of did a little focus group questionnaire with all the students, you know, beforehand, just to kind of get the level of their knowledge about boycott, divestment, and sanctions. What is BDS? Do they know about the Arab-Israeli conflict, and how much did they know? Of course, most of the kids knew very little. Only one student, a 28-year-old actually, knew what BDS was. That was before they watched the film. After they watched the film, then they all said, oh, yes, we know all about this. And, of course, some of them shared their stories about what they had learned in school and, you know, some of the comments from the professors, the Israel apartheid weeks on college campuses, all the usual and suspect. But they enjoyed the film because it was entertaining for them. Having the comedian in there, bringing satire to a story, a difficult story to tell, helped to educate the students. And at the end, you know, I asked them afterwards, I said, you know, the theatrical length is going to be an hour and 30 minutes long. Would you sit in a movie theater and would you watch this film? Every one of them said, absolutely. And the reason why was because it kept their interest. It was entertaining and it was informative. And they were challenged by some of the things that they learned. So this is going to be the most important film for this hour right now. And so we're looking forward to, our goal is to distribute it. We're going to do the premiere in Los Angeles. We'll have another premiere in New York. And that'll be October 27th, and then November 29th, we will do a premiere in South Florida, in Miami Beach. And then, of course, we will push it out to our global media partners at NRB. So we'll be pushing it into 200 nations, 950 million viewers. But when it comes to the college campuses, our goal is to push this film and get a limited theatrical release in strategic cities where there have been university campuses that have been pushing these Israel apartheid demonstrations. These, and I don't know if your listeners are familiar with this, but these demonstrations that are going on college campuses are becoming more and more intense and more violent. These rallies are inciting hatred and violent attacks on not just Jewish students, but Christian Zionist students on the campus as well. So our goal is to push back at these people, come into their community, bring the film, show the documentary on college campuses. So we're looking for young people who are college students who are interested in sponsoring a screening on the campus and having a discussion. We'll show the film, and then we'll have a panel discussion with experts who we actually filmed in the documentary to talk about this narrative. One of the most amazing interviews that we had in the film, I have to share this with you, Pastor, is a Palestinian human rights guy who's involved in the human rights organization for Palestinians, and he says the most profound things in the interview with him. He talks about how this whole Arab-Israeli conflict is a farce, that it's these Palestinian groups who have formed these NGOs because they saw it as a way of absorbing and taking money to make themselves rich, but they're not helping the real impoverished Palestinian people. We have an interview with a young man who is the head of a Israeli IDF paratrooper unit. He happens to be a Muslim, and he talked about his love for Israel.
Well, I got a couple of questions. Number one, first question is, first I want to agree with you that all the protests, all over the United States are getting increasingly more violent, and we could go into actually a whole program to talk about why and who's behind those protests. We'll just say the left for now. But my question to you isn't it hard with all that the left has seemed to be in control of the campuses, isn't it hard to get on campus? I mean, with this kind of a message.
Well, we're going to find out if anybody prevents our opportunity to come onto the campus to screen, then they're basically going to be denying our rights or the students' rights to free speech, to showing this film. This film, there's nothing in this film that would be antagonistic or threatening or insulting or offensive to anyone. Except for those who don't want people to hear the truth about the whole boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement.
All right. Well, you recently called on the international aid organizations to stop funding aid money to Gaza. Well, why is that? This money being funneled to Hamas? What's the story on that?
Well, the unfortunate reality is when the story broke, we found out that World Vision, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with World Vision, it used to be considered an evangelical, legitimate organization who was raising money to help children in impoverished areas. In fact, we used to support children through World Vision years ago. Well, let me tell you what World Vision is doing now with the money. They hired, in 2005, they hired a man, an Arab, a Muslim, not a Christian, in Gaza to distribute their money, tens of millions of dollars, to Hamas and to the Muslim Brotherhood. It is estimated that 60% of the donated dollars that were given into Gaza ended up in the hands of Hamas. This was outrageous. It wasn't a week later that we found out that the United Nations Development Program, there was a guy arrested who was funneling that money from the United Nations into the hands of Hamas. I mean, this is absolutely outrageous. And yes, we were calling on not just the United Nations, but for organizations who financially support people in these areas like Gaza or the Palestinian-controlled areas to cut the funding. Stop funding. We've been calling on Congress to do this for years, to stop sending money to the Palestinian-controlled areas until we can prove that the money is actually getting to the impoverished Palestinian people. And here we find out World Vision is funding Hamas with Christian donated dollars.
Yeah, it's just craziness, you know. The whole thing is nuts. I have somebody that gave me a chat question. Would you like to hear it? They want to know. They said, you feel that apartheid is an incorrect description of what is going on between the Israeli and the Palestinians, and that a two-state solution is wrong. Well, they want to know, what solution do you have for the problem between the two? Well, is there a solution for the problem?
There was a solution. And to that gentleman that sent you that chat message, the solution was 1948, when the nations of the world gathered together and voted to just take a little sliver, a piece of land to give to the Jewish people so that they could be and this is what the United Nations said, that they could be reconstituted into their ancient homeland. To reconstitute something suggests that the world leaders at that time knew that at one time the Jews or Israel was in this territory, was in this region, and now it's time to reconstitute them back into that region. The problem is the Arabs have refused to honor that. There was a two-state solution. It's never been upheld. And now what the Arabs, what the Palestinians are wanting to do, they chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That right there is, they're saying that to say that from the river, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, they will make that land Judenrein. They will make that territory Jew free. How are you going to make them that area Jew free? You're going to annihilate them. That is their goal. We should not be doing any business with the Palestinians. We shouldn't give them the time of day. Neither should the United Nations. These people do not want peace. The real Palestinians that want peace are not the ones that are sitting in the UN, and they're not the ones sitting in government. What other country allows its enemy to have seats in the Knesset building, in their own government, their own Congress, when those same leaders call for attack, brutal, murderous attacks against Jews? What other country does that? We don't.
Right, absolutely. Actually, the real problem actually occurred is, a lot of people don't understand, Israel didn't cause the Palestinian state. It was the Arab nations that invited them to leave Israel so that they could make war with them. And that then they did not assimilate them into their countries when they became refugees. And, you know, that's where a lot of the problem is. But the real problem is no matter what Israel offered them, what kind of land, whatever they offered them, it would never be enough, because they do not want them. They don't want them there, period. Have you ever heard of Paul Tobarty?
No, I'm not familiar with him.
He wrote a book called A Nation Born in a Day, and he has a website called Israeli God's Time Clock, and he believes that we ought to expand Israel territories. And in fact, he's going to be on talking with us in the next program tonight. So it's an all pro-Israeli day. But really, I don't know what the solution could be until you can get them to accept peace. Is there a solution? I mean, I can't even think of one.
Well, we interview Palestinians who communicate a different narrative than what the world hears. And that's what we're trying to push out. There are Arabs who want to live under the Israeli government. There's a section of the film where we call it A Tale of Two Cities. We focus on the city of Bethlehem and the city of Nazareth. These are two cities that Christians are familiar with in their Bible, because it is the birthplace of Jesus and because it is the place where he grew up. The Bethlehem is governed by the Palestinian Authority, but over 80% of Christians have fled Bethlehem. Why? Is it because of the Israelis? Well, the Israelis aren't governing over Bethlehem. It's the Palestinians. It's because they are being attacked. They aren't able to freely worship in their community without a pastor being shot three times, or congregants on their way to church services on Sunday being stoned by their neighbors. Then you look at Nazareth. Nazareth is governed by the Israeli government. You have Jews, Christians and Muslims who all live together side by side as neighbors. And you don't have Jews or Christians being assaulted in those communities. You have a priest, right, a Greek Orthodox priest, Father Nadav in Nazareth, who is calling on Christians, the parents, to get their children, when they graduate from high school, to join the IDF. Why? Because Christians need to defend the state of Israel, because there is no safe place for Christians to reside throughout the Middle East. We have a Muslim, like I said earlier, who we interviewed. He wants, and he even says that the Muslims won't talk, they won't be vocal, because they'll be threatened if they talk about wanting to live in Israel, because there is no other democracy for Muslims. So there are Muslims who don't even want to be under the Palestinian Authority or under Arab rule,
right,
because their rights, right, are denied.
Right, absolutely.
So there's my answer to your question.
Okay, well, amen. You know, the solution's going to have to, I don't believe there's ever going to be peace until Yeshua returns, absolutely. Because of the mere fact that, you know, the Muslim people, the people completely, look at what's going on in the whole neighborhood. You know, right now they're fighting each other, but when they get tired of fighting each other, they're all going to come against Israel. That's what the word says anyway. And they all call it. I don't know one Arab nation that legitimately says that Israel has a right to exist, and it does have a right to exist. Absolutely. So I don't see the solution unless it comes from a biblical perspective, so to speak. What do you think?
No, Israel is the time clock, and if we really want to be watching what time we live in, then we need to watch what is happening in Israel. God is not going to allow that country to be destroyed. He will destroy. Even Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone to all of those nations. God made a covenant to Israel, and you can bet your life that he's going to keep that covenant. And these Christians who are promoting a false narrative and a false agenda are going to stand before Almighty God one day, and he's going to give them, he's going to ask them to give an account for what they did. As it says by the prophet Obadiah, God told the prophet in the latter days that he was going to wipe out the descendants of Edom because they stood by while their brother Jacob, or Israel, was held in captivity and did nothing. Edom, you don't have to be a physical DNA descendant to be an Edomite in the last days. You can also adopt the mindset of the Edomites, and the Edomites,
right,
hated the Jews. They hated Israel, and God said,
yeah,
he's going to wipe them out in the latter days because they stood by. We cannot stand by at this hour. If we are Bible-believing Christians, we had better read our Bible. We need to go back to the book of Genesis, and we need to read that covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That covenant was never broken. God promised he would fulfill it. And by golly, Christians who accept Jesus as the Messiah, as Paul said in Galatians, And in Ephesians, you who were once outside of the commonwealth of Israel have been brought near because of Jesus' shed blood. Christians are now part of the commonwealth of Israel. What is the commonwealth? It is a nation. But because we've been propagandized and we've been indoctrinated with doctrines and traditions of replacement theology and supersessionism,
right,
we don't see that. We're not taught that perspective.
Right.
Oh,
it's just right now, Christians are practically being wiped out in the Middle East. And, you know, when they get done with them, they're going to come for Israel. But that's the whole point. We see all the, because people are using a replacement type theology about Israel, they don't see the plight of their own brothers and sisters, you know, which I'm talking about the Christians over there. The Christians where Christianity originated from are being slaughtered and wiped out, and yet we don't bring them into this country as refugees. We just let them get wiped out. And
what is that,
they don't understand
what does that
it.
Tell you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, what does that tell you? That tells you, that tells me, at least, the Christians in the West look at the Christians in the East and think, oh, their lives, you know, their lives have no value. Why the silence in the church? Why isn't anybody speaking out? We're the Christian leaders demanding that our government do something. But no, what do? We allow our government to support organizations like Helping to Birth ISIS, funding ISIS and equipping them to take down Assad. And in the process, right. Now ISIS turns on us with all of our money, with all our weaponry. And what do we have? We have eruption in the Middle East. We have Christians who are dying throughout the Middle East. Oh, I can just get on my tangent.
Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. You're such a joy to talk to. And I agree with you totally about the church. And I say it all the time, you know, the church needs to speak up. But, you know, they've got into that replacement theology or whatever. I believe there must be a time for the church to wake up. They just haven't hit it yet. Well, Lori, we're running out of time. You got about a minute. Tell us again briefly about how to find the film trailer and what else they can find at your website. You got about a minute and a half.
Absolutely. So I just want to encourage your listeners, don't just take what you hear for granted. Get your Bible and sit down and study it. Open it up. Go back to the beginning. If you really want to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says in the Word, you will know the end from the beginning. If we don't go back to the beginning and study the book of Genesis, study the covenant that God made with Israel, with the Jewish people, then we are not going to know or understand the position that we should be taking. We should not allow any administration politically. Look at this is the most important year we have coming up. We have elections. Look at the two parties. Where do they stand when it comes to Israel? I'm not going to tell your listeners who to vote for, but I think the answer to that question is pretty clear. You have one person who bailed on our guys and our ambassador in Benghazi. Do you think that person, that candidate, is going to stand and defend our Jewish brethren in Israel or stand and defend the Christians in the Middle East who are being butchered? I don't think so.
No.
We have candidates who are going to support what the biblical position that we are to take. But your listeners can go to our website, Pastor, pjtn.org. You can pre-order the film. It's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And again, if any of your listeners are in Los Angeles for the premiere, we'd love to see them.
Well, absolutely. You're going to have to send me a copy, Lori. I'd like to see it.
Absolutely. You got it.
All right. Well, you be blessed. We're going to have to let you go, and I appreciate your work and what you're doing. And let me tell you what. You say your hair stands up on end talking about the United Nations. I don't even want to walk near the building, you know. All right. Well, you just be blessed. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, soon. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, folks, that was Lori Cardoza Moore, and check out what she's doing. You know, and for the record, in this whole thing about the Palestinian state and everything, you know, Israel has offered them ways to live. They've offered them land for peace. They say they will not recognize Israel as any kind of a country, and so how can you have peace with somebody that wants to kill you? But we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting this radio program and supporting the Wichita Mission Church. When you hear this, we could use your help. You can send us a check or money order, or donate online. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, would you please bless and keep them and shine your face upon them and be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.